It's officially DC festival season, and we're super excited about this one coming up on May 18th. Africa on the Avenue is a celebration of the vibrant African immigrant community along Georgia Avenue Northwest. There's going to be interactive art installations, fashion shows, music, food, and local business stands. This one-day festival, organized by District Bridges' Lower Georgia Avenue Main Street program, truly has something for everyone. So I'll see you there on May 18th. Go to districtbridges.org to learn more.
Today on CityCast DC, so there has been this crazy fight going on about whether to erect an apartment building on the site of an old firehouse on U Street. And it's a fight worth watching because it says a lot about what it takes to actually build anything in DC. Paul Schwartzman from the Washington Post has been covering it, and he's here to walk us through the wild details. Today is Monday, April 8th. I'm Michael Schaefer, and here's what DC is talking about. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Mike.
You wrote this great story about a fight over an ugly, I think, plot of land at 1617 U Street Northwest. It looks like it is the setting of the stage for a redevelopment showdown. And here at CityCast, we love redevelopment showdowns, or at least ones that can tell you something bigger about where the city is headed. But to back up for people who are not familiar with it, can you explain sort of where in the city it's located and what's there now?
It is currently the site of a one-story police station, a firehouse, and a parking garage that looks like it was made for Gaithersburg, if you know what I mean. Like an outdoor parking lot. It's two levels. The whole thing is not very attractive and feels sort of like a vestige of the old DC, you know, the less populated DC. It's in a corner of Adams Morgan, right on U Street, where there's been a lot of development in recent years. Not exactly on that spot, but a couple of blocks over beginning. It's a very popular area. It's sort of in between all this nightlife. It's also bordered by historic districts. And so there are these sort of competing tensions. You know, there are people who've been there a long time who really enjoy sort of the look of the neighborhood, which is there's a lot of row houses, older style buildings, you know, that sort of lovely old world DC. But also there's a lot of new stuff going on around there. There's an influx of people and their restaurants. There are people who see it as a place where there's possibility, you know, where you can do a lot of new stuff.
And we're in a city which famously has a housing crunch. So if you look at this plot of land, which if it had been owned by like a private person, they might have sold out for big bucks years ago, but it didn't move because it's owned by the city. And I presume the mayor and the administration look at it and think, hey, that looks like a great place to put some housing in a city that doesn't have enough of it. What are their plans?
Well, I mean, this is going on all over. The mayor wants to build 36,000 units of housing by, I believe, 2028. And a portion of those she wants to be affordable housing. And she's counting on the developers to, in exchange for building the, you know, market rate units, are also going to deliver affordable units. And this is the kind of parcel that's perfect for that. There's also an issue going on up in Chevy Chase, a similar issue with the community center up there that, from the face of it, an underused public property. And they also want to develop that. It's all to add to the supply of affordable housing.
So this seems like a wonderful idea, right? We've got a bustling neighborhood, not enough housing. Let's put some housing up. Nobody could possibly be against such a wonderful idea.
The thing is, Mike, because I know you've been around Washington for a while, this is not a city that's really embraces change a whole lot in its neighborhoods. You know, people are, they like their low slung two or three story houses. They like, you know, a little bit of commercial, not to be too big. They don't want to be Manhattan. They don't want to be Boston. They want to be Washington circa 1950. And I understand it. If I live next to it in my row house, I'm sure I would be kind of freaked out to have a 10-story building next to me. But people have interests that are beyond their proximity. The mayor has her agenda, and this fits right in with it.
So can you lay out, there is no specific building, but they are trying to change the rules so that somebody could put in a building that's up to 10 stories there.
The zoning currently allows, I believe, for a four-story building at the max. And what's before the city right now is what the mayor wants is let's make it possible, underscore possible, to build as high as 100 feet. There's no actual proposal to build a building. There's no developer. It's just to allow for this size of a building. And it has caused something of an earthquake in the area. This is now before what we call the Zoning Commission. There are four commissioners. They've heard, I believe, 30 hours of testimony.
I'm tired just hearing that.
I've watched some of it because, you know, I have to. And the chairman of the commission looks like he's about to lose his mind at certain points. But yet it goes on. In the case file, there's something like 700 exhibits at this point. There are letters, petitions on all sides. There are a lot of people who want this. There are a lot of people who live in sort of the surrounding area, not immediate area, who thinks, yes, more housing. That's what we need. It's so too expensive to live in Washington for everybody. So, you know, economics 101, give them more supply and the demand goes down and prices fall.
You also quoted a shoe repair guy in the neighborhood saying, hey, more residents means more people with messed up shoes means more business.
Exactly. An interesting thing that's gone on with the pandemic, and this is a little bit of a side issue, is that while, of course, our downtown is greatly suffering and is hollowed out, you know, life in the neighborhoods hasn't been all that terrible. It's, you know, people stay home, people are working out of their apartments. That means people are going to restaurants in their neighborhoods. That means they're going to the store in the middle of the day. So there's actually, it's better for the small businesses in some ways. And I think this guy, this shoe repair guy, sees, you know, oh, I'm going to get hundreds of new potential customers. This is fantastic. What's not to like?
Everybody knows that getting that perfect Mother's Day gift is basically impossible, but we promise Mom will love this one. The Capitol Hill Restoration Society House and Garden Tour is back this Mother's Day weekend on May 11th and May 12th. Tour 9 elaborate homes and gardens and 3 historic buildings on Capitol Hill that you can't normally enter. And if you can't make it, check out the Capitol Hill Restoration Society's other events like walking tours and monthly preservation cafes. You can buy tickets for the Mother's Day House and Garden Tour on Eventbrite, and be sure to follow CHRS on Facebook and Instagram at Capitol Hill Restoration DC.
When I used to cover stories like this, you know, you go to these hearings and they throw all kinds of stuff at the wall to see what sticks. And a lot of it is procedural. You know, you didn't give us enough notice or there wasn't enough input or anything. What are the arguments against this, ranging from like serious to kind of laughable?
It causes a lot of anxiety. I'm not going to question people's anxiety, right? I can't read their minds. They are making sincere arguments and you just got to take it for face value in a way. So I think for the immediate neighbors, it's the shadow that a 100-foot tall building would cast.
You mean a literal shadow?
Yeah. Like people will be, you know, there was a woman I interviewed. She said that her ability to see rainbows could be compromised. Now, that may sound ridiculous to a person who lives 3 miles away. But if I'm that person and I like my rainbows, as well as the sun and the moon and all that, yeah, I would be upset about that. I completely get it. There are people, you know, sort of who are more sort of architecturally minded, who think that a 100-foot tall building in that context and that setting is a complete mismatch for the surrounding area.
Although you could point out that like a 1960s brutalist police station is also not exactly like Victoriana.
Absolutely, except that it's only like a story or two tall. So like, you know, you don't really see it. This is 10 stories. The surrounding blocks are 2 or 3 story row houses. So, you know, people are feeling like it's going to be jarring, right? This is going to get a little technical, so hey, bear with me. On V Street, which is behind you, there are these little row houses. They've talked about doing like what they call a step back on the exterior of the building so that, you know, what you're looking at up front is like maybe six stories, and then it steps back to eight stories further in. So it doesn't, it's not quite as imposing on the sidewalk, if that makes any sense.
Of course.
Those are huge concerns. And then you get into the economic, you know, this is where it gets kind of confusing, right? Because they're going to include affordable housing. People are for affordable housing, they say. However, there's the fear that it will cause displacement in the larger neighborhood, because if you put market rate rentals in there, it drives the prices up and it'll, you know, add to the property taxes for the homeowners and et cetera. Okay, but they're creating affordable housing, so theoretically people could move into that affordable housing, or, you know, so that would be the offset. Then you get to the other part of the argument, which is affordable for whom? Affordable housing advocates have long argued that Bowser's affordable housing is not really affordable for the people who need it the most. It's not geared towards the poor. It's more towards working class, middle class.
Right. Although in the way DC is right now, your school librarians, they're also having a hard time finding housing.
I'm firefighters, journalists. You know, it's not an easy city to live in. So this question of affordable for who comes up all the time and is used as an argument, ironically enough, against affordable housing.
So you kind of hit it earlier on in this conversation where you said, you know, it's really a question of sort of what version of DC we want to be. Do we want to be kind of the 50s where you could, it was pretty quiet, parking was pretty easy to find, or do we want something more crowded, more bustling? And people are all over the place about that. And that's sort of what I think connects this thing on U Street with what's happening that you mentioned up in Chevy Chase. Your piece notes that they also are connected by the same lawyers.
Yes. There's a fellow named Ed Hanlon, who has been sort of a cause celeb for the Washington City Paper, my favorite alternative weekly. He's leading the fight, or one of the leaders of the fight against this thing on U Street. He's made a name for himself in DuPont Circle by rigorously opposing folks who wanted to build outdoor decks. The litigation got to the point where he and somebody else were ordered to pay someone's legal bills of like $30,000. You know, Ed is, he's a very smart guy. He knows procedure very well. And he's able to find those things in the procedure that can pull these things up and cause problems. But during one of the hearings that I had the dubious pleasure of watching at length, Ed was, you know, asking the city about who they exactly presented these plans to. Did you present this plan to this civic association? And did you present it to Black business owners and Black-run organizations? And, you know, they kept saying, well, no, we didn't. No, no. You know, they did go before what are known as advisory neighborhood commissions, which is sort of like the lowest level of government in Washington. It's the community level where people get elected, but you don't get paid and you approve, like, you talk about liquor licenses and all that. Anyway, they presented it to those guys, you know, at numerous meetings, different ANCs, but they didn't go to these organizations. So it was quite effective in a sense. I mean, it was driving the chairman, Anthony Hood. Anthony Hood is the chairman of the Zoning Commission. He was like really losing his patience with this guy.
So your piece ends with him. I mean, it's sort of a kind of, this is why we can't have nice things, right? Everything takes so long. But he had this great line about how long they have spent just bickering over process on this.
Yeah, he said that the commission has created entire neighborhoods and the time that it's taken to talk about this one project. But, you know, so he did kind of take Ed's side at one point. He got very upset. He's saying, you know, this is not good that they didn't talk to these folks. But then Ed tried to capitalize on that and like get the case basically dismissed off that. And the chairman of the commission said, no, let's not get carried away. You know, like over 600 people or something like that have entered testimony on this case. It's not like the neighborhood has not been heard. This has been really well aired in the community. So that's a hard argument to follow, but Ed's effective.
All right. So Paul, you are watching this so we don't have to. Read the tea leaves for us. Where do things go from here?
They're going to vote on May 9th. My sense from the city is they're pretty confident. I think there's a feeling it's going to go through. I suppose they could adjust the zoning, right? They could say instead of 100 feet, we want you to do 80 feet, something like that. But there are economics involved. The reason why I think the city would say they need to go to 100 feet is that developer needs to build a certain number of market rate units in order to pay for those affordable units, if that makes sense.
Hey, Paul, thank you.
Always happy to help.
That is all for today here on CityCast DC. If you enjoyed the show, why not tell a friend, rate the show, leave us a review, and subscribe. Subscribe to our morning newsletter. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Bye. That was awesome.
I'm surprised you were interested in this. Actually, I'm not that surprised now that I think of it.